Open the door and step inside to a world of practical magic, where we blend the mystical and mundane worlds of the everyday witch. Presented by Wise Woman Witchery and hosted by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Amazing. Welcome to The Witch Next Door. I'm Emily, and this week on The Witch Next Door, we have brought on one of our fabulous and magical presenters for the Cauldron of Wisdom Awakening Intuition Symposium. So I have with me today Shara Robaza, who is a Reiki master and the owner of Nourished by Shara, and she's going to be chatting with us about the work she's doing in the world and also giving us a little sneak peek at what she's going to be offering at the conference. So welcome in, Shara.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Totally. I'm so happy this worked. As we were talking before we came on to record, it's always the hardest part is finding the schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. For everyone. Yes. Our busy lives.
Yes.
So Shara, tell me a little bit about what work you're doing. Tell me about your business. What's going on in your world?
Okay. So, by day. I work in healthcare 3 days a week. So not full time anymore, but, and by night, my secret identity, I always like to make that joke. I am the owner of, my business Nourished by Shara, which originally started, more so on the, nutrition aspect of health and wellness. And when the pandemic sort of hit at its peak and everything shut down, mm-hmm. and you know how it went and everything moved online, I had moved into my yoga training and Reiki training.
Uh-huh.
And when I discovered Reiki, that was it for me. That was the passion of my life. You just don't know until you just sort of fall into it. So I pursued it right to the end to master, and ultimately led me here to sharing the beauty of Reiki with the world in all sorts of ways.
So for people totally. And for people who might not know what Reiki is, you know, I mean, most of us have seen something pop up about it here and there, but maybe people don't really know what it is. Can you share a little bit about what that is?
I can. I'll try and keep it down to a...
It's so hard to keep it down when it's something you're passionate about.
It is. It is so hard. Okay. So the essence of Reiki, so for those who don't know, is a traditional Japanese energy healing modality. And living beings are gifted with these things called chakras. We know there are 7 major chakras in our body, from the crown down to the root. So 7 of them. And what we have are called subtle bodies, and they are layers of emotional, spiritual, physical levels of wellness. And when we become burdened with disease, it penetrates each level, ultimately landing into a chakra. Mm-hmm. Each chakra is associated with a body system, an emotion, what have you. And if a disease manifests and settles itself into a chakra, then we become blocked. Our energy becomes blocked. The disease manifests itself more. And the idea is for the Reiki practitioner to come in and intuitively guide that healing energy to open up the chakra, leading us to well-balanced health, mm-hmm. and energy, lifestyle, that sort of thing, in a nutshell.
So as someone who might be on the receiving energy, excuse me, receiving end of receiving this energy, receiving this sort of clearing, what might they experience?
So, okay. Every healee or receiver can experience the Reiki energy differently. Ultimately, you would, let's say you would spend an hour on the treatment bed, and really also depends on how open you are to receiving the Reiki energy, depends on how you will feel, right? Some people feel nothing. Some people are so blocked with this manifested disease that they don't feel anything. But physically, you would just, the treatment itself consists of me laying hands on in different positions all over the body to unblock the chakras. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like on a physical level, you would just feel me doing the treatment, very light touch, much, much less, like much different than from like a massage or a reflexology, anything like that. Reiki is very much different. But like on a spiritual cellular level, sometimes you will feel the energy, sometimes you won't. Really depends on what level of disease you have. Yes.
So I've had Reiki and I've been trained in Reiki, and my own experience was like a tingling that I had. So it was even with the very first time I had it, which was many, many years ago before I knew even what it was. I remember this gal I was working with had put her hands on my feet, and it felt like these little teeny bubbles, almost like champagne bubbles, were like moving energetically through my feet. And I was kind of like, what the what? What's going on right now? I don't
Yeah. It's so hard to explain. You're right. And I've had that comment come back to me. I've had like people say they feel like zapping energy or like the feeling of like ping pong. Like, because oftentimes it's like a bilateral hand placement. So like, say for instance, when you are working in the head area, I've had people say like, it felt like the energy was ping ponging back and forth, or burning, not burning, warmth.
Yes. Warmth.
Tingling sensation, like you said, or like the bubble, you know, that's, or people are seeing maybe colors or the experience is so different for everybody, and how also how connected they are to their own intuition as well. So.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's really, really true. So where do you see the bridge between Reiki and intuition?
Where do I see? Okay. So it's funny because I guess maybe for myself, I should maybe describe it in that sense, because I just, something told me I had to do Reiki training. So I went, this was even before I even had a treatment, and I went in and did level one, and I went in not even like realizing or accepting that I had my own intuition, or that I could trust my own intuition, you know, like that when you go in at first, like that gut feeling, right? And the thing that was so beautiful about my training and the training that I offer is we focus heavily on how to trust it, how to develop it, how to recognize it, because as a practitioner, you need to be able to, because Reiki energy is guided intuitively. So having that, your own intuition allows you to know where to help guide that energy. Right? Okay. So that's the lovely thing about doing the training, because you go in questioning what feels real or what doesn't feel real, or, you know, things you've picked up on in the world that you question, or maybe like you think, oh, that's not real, I'm just weird or whatever, right? The Reiki training really helps solidify that. Maybe I am not weird after all, and all of these things that I feel or see or hear or touch are
Have value.
Have value. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I just feel like it's sort of, yeah, definitely. Value is a really good word. Yeah, it's sort of like giving you more confidence about the things that you feel or see, mm-hmm. right? Or don't see.
Right.
Just because you can't physically touch it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I know that everybody experiences their own intuitive knowing a little differently, right? We all have a different sensation or like a way that we relate to those thoughts or feelings that come in. And I'm curious what your personal experience is of your intuition, because you said you felt guided to go do this Reiki training and you mm-hmm. didn't even know what it was. So what mm-hmm. was that feeling for you that was sending you in that direction?
You know, it's, oh, that's a great question.
Thanks.
That's such a fantastic question. But I've always sort of been that person who tries not to overthink something. You know, I'm for a long time, I've just been sort of brave enough to jump into it feet first without overanalyzing it. And maybe that's just my intuition telling me that I need to do it. You know, when I sit down and think too long on it, it's sort of right then, you, like your ego and stuff sort of get in the way.
Yeah.
Of it, you know? So I think if it's something that I'm willing to just jump in 2 feet first, then I know it's the right path for me.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there a feeling of like excitement when, like, so for example, like when I hear, I've had things put in my path that all of a sudden I just get this hard yes inside of myself that feels to me like, whoo, I'm excited about this and I'm going to make this happen. Even if I don't have a context for it, or, you know, I haven't even given it any thought. And to me, that's usually kind of what you're speaking to of like, that's, I'm jumping in feet first because everything in my being is saying yes to that.
Exactly. Definitely. But, like a nervous excitement, like anything, you want to grow and progress in life and try new things. For me anyway, that's sort of how I try and live my life. So if it comes to me hard and fast and I feel excited about it, and nervous, then I know, yeah, for sure, it should be done, right?
Yes.
Because you, like, to me, life is to be experienced, and yeah, that's it. Like, just go out and do it.
Right. Do the thing, whatever that thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, definitely, like, nervous excitement.
Okay.
When I get, like, you know, like that buzzing, excited feeling in my head and that nervous like butterflies in my belly, then I sort of know like this is the path.
Right? Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever ignored that feeling?
I probably did a lot when I was raising my son. And I think that was just the fear, like you had to be like a certain mom, or what society expects of you raising your kids or that sort of thing. So probably for a lot of years, yes, I did have like a fear where I didn't follow my instinct as far as what I needed.
Uh-huh.
Right. Obviously. But I think that's not just part of motherhood too. You put your needs,
yes.
your desires aside to raise your kid. And yeah. But once my son started to get older, I realized it's time to, you know, you're not going to be raising littles forever. So you have to find your own path beyond that too. Right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. I know for me in my life, one of the things that has happened is when I ignore my intuition for whatever reason, often something will come back around. So like, let's say a path is open to me and I'm like, I want to do that, but blah, blah, blah. I can't do it because that path will often come back around to me and be like, okay, you get a second chance. But like after that, I don't know if I'll get another chance. But usually if it comes around one more time, I'm like, oh, okay. I wasn't paying attention to this.
Exactly.
you know,
always pay attention.
Totally. And then I ignored my intuition and had things sort of blow up in some way or another because I didn't say yes, or I said yes when I should have said no. And then it's like, oh, I should have listened to that feeling that I had. Dang it.
Yeah, when it doesn't feel like authentically you, it looks like it could be beneficial, but I sort of like, yeah, if it gives me like an icky feeling, then you know, then I know it's not for me.
Right.
Right. If you're not getting that excited, passionate feeling, then yeah, it's probably just not the path for you. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. Yeah.
And I think it's really tricky because culturally there are certain quote norms, you know, for those of you that can't see, I am using air quotes, but there's like these norms that we think we're supposed to do or be a part of. And so sometimes we try to cram ourselves into situations or away from situations so that we can look like we're following the norms and feel a part of. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not being authentic or true to ourselves.
Yes.
So I always feel like intuition is the thing that if we're listening to it, we're going to live a more authentic life.
Yeah. It's like that little voice in your head. Don't ignore it. But we are taught as we age too. Like when we're children, everything is just like by the seat of our pants and we live intuitively and what feels good and what's fun and what's, you know, has positive energy and all of that stuff. But as we age, like you say, you succumb to, again, those quotes, the norms of society. Yeah. We forget how to tap into that childlike intuition or whatever. Definitely. When you finally do come back to it, it feels so relieving.
Well, and I think it lights us up when we come back to it, because even just listening to you talk about Reiki and just talking about sort of how you found your path there, it just appeared for you and you were like, that's the thing. And then it was so much the thing that you really dove in all the way. Yes. You know, you lit up as you were talking about that. Now, people who are listening couldn't see that. Maybe they could hear it, but I could see the energy in your body. Just like, oh yeah, like that's my jam.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's so funny how one like little tiny move or shift in your, or action in your life leads you to something bigger or better. Yeah. It's wild how the universe works.
Totally. It is. It's interesting. You know, you make one choice at some point and it can pivot the whole thing.
Yeah. If you're listening.
If you're listening. Exactly. Well, if you're not listening, it can still pivot the whole thing, but maybe not for the greater good. Maybe not for the greater good.
For sure.
Yeah. How do you think your life has changed since you started doing Reiki? Since you brought that into your world.
Yeah, I think I sort of want to bring it back to being like a mom and stuff, because I had a lot of before my son like was an older teen, ready to go into graduate high school, go into college and find his own path, you sort of like start to get scared and wonder like, where is my life gonna go when I'm done raising him? And so since I figured out now what direction I'm going in, like that fear is gone and that relief is there, right? Because you identify as something for so long.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And when you're willing to finally let go of that identity and create like your own life plan, it's like a huge weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
And when it starts to become successful and grow and thrive, like it's just like such an incredible feeling. And again, like solidifies that instinctive move that you made was the right one too, right? Mm-hmm. So
So what I'm hearing you say is that in a way, finding Reiki gave you this identity past motherhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
Like brought you back to you where you were like, oh yeah, here I am. Here I forgot, but here I am.
Right? For sure. Definitely. And yeah, and that's true for a lot of women too that are like, I still see in a lot of younger women who are still raising their kids and stuff. They're still on like that. And we all go through it. There's nothing wrong with it. But I try and instill in them now that, you know, find your joy outside of motherhood, because you're going to need it. You're going to need that path. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so hard. I think I'm not a mom, but I've worked with a ton of moms and families in my therapy gig. Yeah. And so I really get that, you know, when you are parenting, it becomes your whole world because mm-hmm. you're responsible for this other human and helping them get to their grown-up stage.
Yes.
And I think so many moms do lose pieces of themselves, or they forget how to have an identity outside of being a mom. Yeah. You know, there might be hobbies or interests that sort of creep in, but they're really easy to let go of mm-hmm. in a moment's notice if you're mm-hmm. needed. Mm-hmm. And it's such a profound shift for so many mamas when they step into that place of like, oh, my kid is raised, or my kid is maybe a teenager and doesn't need me as much as they did. Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. Who am I? Like, I don't even know what I like anymore.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Or all the fantasies. This is what I've heard from a lot of moms of like, oh, I thought, you know, I just wanted to have this thing, whatever it was, like this yoga practice or this, I just wanted to get a massage. And then just even trying to conceptualize how to make anything happen becomes like, I don't actually have that muscle anymore. So I don't know how to do, I don't even know how to make that happen.
Exactly.
I'm so used to making it happen for someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like your own cup is not full for sure, because you're busy filling everybody else's. So
yeah.
And I think any caregiver can relate to that too, even if you're you're caring for aging parents, or you know, maybe your spouse is unwell, like any walk of life. Doesn't have to just be a parent, like a parent.
That's true.
But yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
So you found your way back to yourself through this modality and through following your intuition. And it sounds like the other thing that Reiki really gave you was this gift of being able to trust that intuitive self and hone that skill.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing too, was to be able to do it with other people as well. I find like if you dive into any kind of intuitive training or what have you, it's good to have other people to talk to, because really everyone's the same. You're going through it the same, but you think you're alone and you're not. Everybody questions what they're thinking or feeling or touching. Everybody questions it. So it's really helpful to, like I said, do that with other people, because they can also help solidify that what you're going through is normal, what you see or not see or not feel is normal. Like, it's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely have someone that, that you can do that training with, or someone you can talk to about it who goes, yeah, you know what? You're right. That is weird, but it's normal. That's how you're supposed to feel. So cool.
Well, and I mean, I don't know what your situation was with Reiki training, but I know that in the training I was in, there were only a couple of us in it, but we did practice on each other.
Yeah.
And that, so that you have that validation, but you also get to validate someone else's experience. So that idea of sharing back and forth that you're talking about is very much, it is important, because otherwise you can start to doubt yourself.
Yeah. Doubt. Doubt is such an enemy of
of trusting your intuition.
For yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Cheryl, what are you going to be teaching about at the conference? How are you going to be tying Reiki in to all of this and helping other people find their intuitive skills?
So yeah, like I'm just going to keep going back to this, like, and trusting your intuition. So like a lot of training is like a lot of Reiki training is heavily theory based. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create programming for Reiki practitioners where learning to recognize your intuition and the different clairs and all of that stuff, I think are the foundation of being a super helpful practitioner. So, my focus will be to just help people recognize their intuition, what they can do, like what they can practice daily to help strengthen that intuition and how to recognize it and like the different gifts that we are given, whether when I say the clairs, I mean like clairvoyance and all of that stuff, sort of stuff, right? Like there's mm-hmm. several different clairs and how they take a part in helping you recognize your gifts to your higher spirits and your guides. So that's sort of what I'll be touching on at the conference.
Awesome.
I sort of get sidetracked. Sorry.
No, you totally answered the question. And I think it's really helpful for people to understand the different clairs. So the way that it's basically the way that you're receiving information.
Correct.
Because everybody, again, receives information differently. Everybody has a different relationship with their intuitive sense and mm-hmm. with messages that come through. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that we all have psychic skills mm-hmm. and, you know, we're different levels depending on how mm-hmm. much practice you're doing. And some people mm-hmm. happen to be born with a little like amplifier. So they're getting like all the downloads all the time.
Yeah.
But we all have something. And so we're all receiving information, and knowing how you receive that information, that's such a key component to being able to listen to it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's what you just said, right?
It is what I said.
Okay.
In a more specific, I sort of like get off topic and like, okay. I'm like the wind and just like over here and over there and just saying what comes into my head. But yes, you did a very good job of summarizing that.
And thank you. Are you an air sign? Is your astrological sign an air sign?
Yes.
It is?
Funny. Oh goodness.
Well, this is the thing, right? We all bring different energy and different gifts.
Of course, all our strengths are different, and that's another thing too, like I love working with people who like balance out what your strengths, or for lack of a better word, weaknesses. I don't find it weak. I just find it like you're just all different and your gifts are all different.
Your edges. So they balance out your edges.
There you go. That's a good yeah. It's so great to find your community of people that you can work with who mm-hmm. all have such incredible different gifts. And if you bring them all together, it just makes for something so magical and wonderful and successful.
Yeah, it fills in all the gaps.
It does.
And you get to learn a lot about yourself in those relationships too, mm-hmm. and maybe new ways of pushing up against your edges so that you can start to strengthen those areas that need a little extra oomph.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love like the idea of what you're doing, because again, like you say, you're just bringing in people of so many different gifts and what your guests will receive over the course of those 2 days will be just so magical. Lots of information, obviously. But the lovely thing is you can take your time and learn it in ways that works for you. But all the different gifts that you're going to be bringing in, I just can't wait. Honestly, it's going to be so exciting.
I think it is going to be very exciting. And that's actually one of the things that inspired this conference was that idea that we all receive information differently. And if we can just tune into what it is that, you know, works for us, and then maybe mm-hmm. learn some skills to hone that and really mm-hmm. learn to listen, then mm-hmm. we all get to live a more empowered and authentic mm-hmm. life, because we're coming mm-hmm. from that place of our own truth. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that sounds too woo. but but I feel like it's real. True story.
No, it's lovely. It's lovely. Something is bringing people to it.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And so whatever that something is, they will get it.
Yeah.
They will leave with it too. So it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Well, I am really excited to watch your presentation and spend that time with you. I'm, you know, very aware of what the clairs are, and I love getting the reminder of it. Because I think it's always good to just take inventory from time to time.
Definitely.
About like, hey, how am I getting that information these days? How has that changed? Because my relationship to my intuition, I'll tell you, that has changed over time.
I bet.
And the way I receive messages has changed. And I think that's true for everyone. So I'm excited to be a part of this and get to hear from everyone. And I'm excited to get to spend this time with you.
Me too. Yeah. That's so cool that you said that. It's true too. When you're just first starting out and learning your gifts and how to share them with others. Yeah. How you receive messages is different than how it is, say, a year later, 5 years later, or whatever part of your journey you're on or what you've done. Or it's so interesting how things can change and shift. And
totally
that way, I guess.
Yes. Yay. Well, Shara, so obviously people can find you at the conference. And for those of you listening, there will be a link in the description of this podcast where you can click and go sign up and join us April 26th and 27th. Mm-hmm. But outside of the conference, how can people find you?
Well, social media, of course, because that's just where a lot of people are at these days. So I am on Instagram, obviously, at Nourished by Shara. Otherwise, I am a Reiki practitioner at a spa in a small town called Smithville here in Ontario called Breathe Wellness. So I am there doing Reiki treatments and going to be bringing my training in there, training other practitioners and running lots of Reiki shares and that sort of thing. So I'm very excited. I love sharing Reiki with others. Outside of just doing treatments, which is amazing. And so it invokes a lovely sense of peace, but to share with people and help people find their path is where it lies. The passion, right?
Yeah. See, there it is. There's that spark I was talking about. Lighten you up.
Whatever it takes to light you up.
Yes. Okay? Yes. Totally. Well, thank you for taking this time with me today. And thanks everyone for listening in. We'll be seeing you at the conference. So grab your spot and come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm very honored to be here with you today. And of course at the conference too, to be surrounded by such incredible gifted people. So can't wait.
Yeah. Yay. Awesome. Thank you. Well, everyone, until next time, keep it magical. Hey there, friends. Emily here from Wise Woman Witchery. If you like what you hear on The Witch Next Door, I invite you to support us. You can do that by rating, reviewing, liking, following, what else? Whatever else it is that you do on the platform you like to listen to podcasts on. By doing these things, it actually helps other people find us. And in that way, helps us spread the magic. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And thanks for being a listener.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you for joining us on The Witch Next Door.
Join us next week as we explore more ways to make every day more magical. Can't wait? Visit wisewomanwitchery.com or follow Wise Woman Witchery on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on all current offerings and be a part of the tribe. All episodes are created by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis. Music written and performed by Jean Cornelius.